broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Continually in your boardroom, you would point out to
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is strong, determined, and frustrated.
My hairdresser's brother has three kids. They live in the...
John briefed the president at 10:35 last night.
Bleeping retarded.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, Friday night. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we take it through the looking glass and beyond and go places other talk shows. They either don't have the brains, they don't have the guts, or they just don't have the talent to take it there. So why don't we? 877-876-PHIL is our number, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We got an affiliate spotlight tonight? I guess not. 877-876-PHIL. PhilHendryShow.com, of course, is the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show, and that's where you go to get your audio cast, your podcast, whatever else it is that you require. You know, and we have them every day, and we have classics, and we have the Daily Mini, and we have the Daily Full, and we also have an archive base that goes back, 13 years, and over 3,000 hours of archived classic radio. So check it out. I just got an email today from a prominent radio writer who called our show legendary. I said, thank you. Can you intercede in terms of, you know, finances? He said, well, no, I wouldn't want to do that. I said, thank you anyway. 877-876-PHIL. A terror plot against the United States was thwarted this morning. We're going to be talking about that coming up next hour with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And Peruvians are ticked off at a recent episode of Modern Family. We'll tell you what the what jokes sparked the outrage in Peru. Should you be interested in what's happening down in Peru? 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight in Atlanta, WCFO 1160 AM, and in Traverse City, Michigan, WJML 1110 AM on the dial, man. And joining us tonight from, actually from the Frasier's Food, a little bit late, is Robert Green of Frasier's Food, and he is the CEO of a pretty big retail outlet. We had you on earlier in the week, Bob, but I know with the elections coming up, we wanted to get your take on some of the propositions and how you feel as a businessman you would like to see the voting go, and how you feel as a businessman you probably think the voting will go. I know I got an email from you on Prop 19. And by the way, how are you this evening?
Phil, I'm doing really good, and Sandy wanted me to pass along to you her thanks for the very nice flowers you sent.
And how's she doing?
She's going to be out of the hospital on Monday.
Oh, that's great.
And, yeah, we're really a sigh of relief. She's a great kid, and she's going to head back to school, but it was...
Just let anybody know she had a skiing accident?
Yeah, she did at Mammoth Mountain, and we were concerned. It was a hairline fracture, but I wanted to keep her in the hospital, make sure that there wasn't anything else wrong, and... She's doing great, and thank you for the nice flowers from the show.
You're welcome, Bob. I'm glad to hear that. So, as a major business voice, Bob, here on the West Coast, what are we talking about here, man? Is it just like you guys are hoping that every single thing that Obama wants is defeated?
Well, I don't think that there's, for me, there's any political agenda behind it at all. I'm pro business. And whoever is pro-business is my guy. If it's Obama, great. If it's a Democrat, great. If it's a Republican, great. I look at each individual candidate, and I want to make sure that I've got a guy, that's going to be a forceful voice for business. We've got a lot of propositions on the ballot in California, and we have to look at each one of these and do what's best.
All right, let's take one. Let me just take one, not out of the blue, but this is one that is a controversial proposition for a number of reasons. What is your business take on Prop 19, the legalization of marijuana?
Well, I know that it just got an endorsement from the law enforcement against prohibition, which I know those guys, police officers, are opposed to it. I'm not a legalization of marijuana fan on moral grounds, and that's why I would be very reluctant, but I am also a pro-business individual. And you and I both know, Phil, because we both have been in the culture, I guess, or I'll speak for myself, that the smoking of marijuana tends to manipulate certain neurotransmitters in the brain. It manipulates certain biochemicals in the brain that causes an individual to become, I guess the word is hungry, if you want to call it hungry. Some people call it the bunchies, but the fact is that marijuana does go to those transponder centers in the brain that stimulate appetite.
Right. And because you're in the grocery store chain? Or in the grocery store business?
Well, because we are in the business of selling food. If an individual is using marijuana and is a person prone to use enough of it whereby they're going to become hungry, certainly Fraser Foods is a retail outlet that we would want them to use. Now, this is just dollars and cents. This is just 2 + 2 = 4.
Right. And you mentioned something about morality. And you said you're opposed to marijuana legalization on moral grounds. What are those moral grounds?
Well, I think the moral grounds are that marijuana increases the appetite of individuals in a lot of different ways. It increases their appetite for food. It increases, in some people, their appetite sexually. And that's the area where you want to be careful. You don't want to give this to individuals that are going to be using this as a way to go out and have sexual congress with other people outside of their marriages. Or they're going to go out and have sexual congress with members of the same sex, even though that's not what they would ordinarily do.
And you think marijuana would cause somebody to go and have sex with an individual of the same gender?
I don't know. All I know is what I've read and what I've been told by law enforcement. And to that extent, Phil, we have to be very careful.
Robert Green with us, our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about the forthcoming election from the standpoint of business. Mr. Green is a prominent businessman in the here on the West Coast especially, but throughout the country is the CEO of a major retail chain. Let's get back to the idea that you're encouraging people to vote yes on 19, and because I am assuming that that's what you're doing.
Well, we have a responsibility to our business. If marijuana increases appetite, and increased appetite increases my customer base, an increase in customer base equals more profits. It's a simple equation, and that's why I'm telling my employees that they will support Prop 19 when they go to the polls. When it comes to these moral questions...
Can I interrupt you for just a minute? Because I heard you say you're going to tell them, you're telling your employees to support 19...
I'm telling them to support 19. It's not really a tough call because I say to them, and these are my employees that are of the voting age, Phil, and we've got a few young people who are bagging groceries, etc. But no, these are all my adult employees. I will say to them, yes, you will vote for 19 because look at the sense it makes. I don't think I've had one employee look at me and say, you know, after hearing you explain that, Mr. Green, I still don't want to vote for 19. So it's not what you're thinking.
I guess what I was thinking was you're telling them what to do, and certainly...
Well, they have a free will, and they're entitled to do what they want to do with their lives, with their vote, and that's what America's all about. And I encourage that among my employees, so I want them to vote for 19 because it means that with the use of marijuana, there will be increased physical appetite, and I am telling them to vote for 19. They can do what they want.
Well, what if you have employees that don't vote for 19?
Well, how am I going to know that?
Okay.
I'm not going to know that. The best I can do in a situation like that is after the election, I can talk with some of my employees and find out, well, what were you guys talking about? And if they are reluctant to tell me, I can certainly, if I have to, and I don't want to do this, but I can stand in the hallway. We have a hallway near our lunchroom, and a lot of times I'll just come up the stairs, not maybe as loudly as I should, and then I'll just stop before the door and see what people are talking about. This is a way of finding out how happy your employees are
Well, you're saying you're going to eavesdrop on your employees to find out who voted for or against Prop 19, you know?
Well, I didn't exactly say that.
Well, you did. No, but when I said to you, how are you going to know if you're telling your employees to vote for Prop 19? You say it's a free country. They can vote for whatever.
And it absolutely is, Phil. And they can vote for whichever way they want on Prop 19.
All right. But if they vote against it, you then went on to tell me that you have ways of finding out.
No, I don't think I said I have ways of finding out.
Well, I
don't think I put it like it's a Sherlock Holmes novel. No, I simply said, Phil, that if they voted against Prop 19, I would certainly want to know.
And why would you want to know if your employee voted against Prop 19? If you don't mind me asking, I don't want to press this point.
Well, it sounds like you are.
All right, but if it sounds like I am, you understand, Bob, it's a curious thing. I just want to know. You see?
Well, I have no idea, Phil. Now that I talk to you, I'm going to ask all my employees with cell phones if they can take a cell phone picture of their ballot. That's one way, so I can see how they voted on Prop 19. If they can vote any way they want.
They're going to take a cell phone photograph of their ballot, so that violates the secrecy of the ballot place.
No, it does not, and I'll tell you why it doesn't. It's secret when you go into the ballot booth and you vote. After you're done voting, it's all over. It's all done. You can do anything you want. You can take a photograph of your ballot. You can do what you want. I would ask them to do that. They don't have to do that.
And if they come back to your business, you understand what I'm trying to find out here? Are they going to have a job if they vote against Proposition 19 at Fraser Foods?
Are they going to have a job? If they do what?
If they vote against Proposition 19.
Well, Phil, the reason why I want to see my employees vote for 19 is because it means we've got more customers. If we have more customers, we make more money. If we make more money, I pay more to my employees. Why would they vote against it?
Well, if they vote against it, do they have a job with your company?
If they vote against it, it is a message to me that they don't want to make any more money, and I think I would be bound to hire someone that did want to make more money.
And are they going to be fired, though?
I wouldn't call it being fired. I would say that it would be made clear to them, you obviously don't like money. And
well, you don't think that that's true, that any employee of any business doesn't like money. But they may, however, on those moral grounds, vote against this.
I understand that. And I would say to them, as long as no one is having homosexual sex when they're a heterosexual, or that they're going and having sex with someone that isn't their spouse, there really isn't anything wrong with this proposition. But to answer your question, if someone came along and said, I do like money and I want to make more, and the one that voted against Proposition 19 obviously doesn't like money, I have to make that choice.
Well, you're interpreting a vote against Proposition 19 by one of your employees as a vote against making more money.
Well, but it is, because Proposition 19 legalizes marijuana and those people will eat more.
I understand your reason, but it's just tough for me to consider that somebody's going to lose their job if they don't vote for Prop 19.
Well, it's to help the grocery chain survive, Mr. Henry. These are tough times.
I understand. 877-876-PHIL is our number. That's Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, as we talk, heading up to the election now on about the different propositions that you may be facing, that we may be facing in our state of California. One of them is Proposition 19 to legalize marijuana. Fraser Foods is coming out in favor of the legalization of Prop 19 because the smoking of marijuana increases physical appetite, which obviously a grocery chain would benefit from. He's telling his employees that they must vote for Proposition 19, and if they don't, they obviously don't like money, and he wants people in his employ that like money. So, and then taking a picture of your ballot with your cell phone might be a questionable act. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Later on, we have Ted Bell on the plot today, uncovered by security services in a number of different countries to apparently detonate bombs and blow up airplanes and worse. 877-876, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's The Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. Our number 877-876-PHIL. I'm told I don't give the whole phone number out. I apologize, folks. We're with Robert Green from Fraser Foods the second time this week because we are trying to get some business sense, business perspective on ballots, issues on the ballot coming up early November and right around the corner next week. We're talking about Proposition 19, Bob, the proposition to legalize marijuana in the state of California. Your company, Fraser Foods, yourself, you've come out in favor of it. You say that you want your employees voting for it. Have you talked this over with employees?
Oh, I absolutely have, Phil. We have gone to each employee, and we've given our reasons as to why we would like them to vote for Proposition 19. And in every single case, those individuals have said that our arguments make great sense, 100% solid. If you vote for Proposition 19 and you legalize marijuana, there's going to be an increase in the obvious purchase of food. Now, that's just a fact. And
every single one that you talked to, they were in favor of it.
Every single one was. No, I'm saying that all of our employees are in favor of it. All of our
employees. Well, you said all your employees were or are?
I said all of them are.
Are there any? So there were none that were against?
There are some that might be. No. There's no employees that are against it. And
well, are there no employees that. So no employees were let go because we talked to one young lady, Melinda.
Melinda is not employed by my company anymore. She's not an employee here at Fraser Foods. So when you ask me, are the employees in favor of it? Yes, they are.
Was she fired?
Was she fired? She said that she was morally against Proposition 19, and I said, on religious grounds, and she said yes. And I said, I imagine that you're going to be making your religion and a vocation sometime. She says it's very important to me. And I said, we would love for you to get a head start on that. I did not say you're fired.
She just quit?
Yes. That was my understanding.
I don't know, Robert.
Mr. Hendry, if I tell you something is so, I would give you the same consideration.
All right, sir. 877-876-PHIL. If she said she was against the legalization of marijuana, and the next thing you know, she's not employed there. Kelly in Abilene, Texas, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, I just wanted to say Mr. Green has no right to know one way or the other what his employees vote. That is their business totally. He should not have any say in how they vote. He should have no say after they vote or even no knowledge of how they voted. That's wrong. And this Melinda...
I don't have any say in how they vote. I said to them, I would like it if you'd vote for Proposition 19. In favor
you asked that they take a cell phone picture of their ballot. That is morally wrong, and that goes totally against what the American system is to vote. That gives you knowledge of how they vote. And that's
I know what you mean about the private ballot. And
that is a staple of America.
The beginning. And before they went into the voting booth, but after they went into the voting booth, you wanted to know how they voted. That's wrong.
I'm not telling them. I'm not standing over their shoulder. Is what my understanding is.
You are as their employer.
No, sir. I'm just saying we'd like you to vote for Proposition 19. If you don't,
but you implied that if they didn't vote for Proposition 19, that they would no longer have a job. That is intimidation.
No, I never said that. No, sir, I never said that. I said, if you are religiously inclined... No, I don't think so.
What do you mean religiously inclined?
If the young lady was religiously opposed to Proposition 19, my understanding would be that she would much rather work for a church.
But you also said that even if they were religiously opposed to it, and they did vote against Proposition 19. You even told Mr. Hendry that you would be would be inclined to tell them to go on and find something else to do. And if you told me that as your employee, I would take that as an implication that I was going to be fired if I didn't vote how
you
said.
Well, you'd be wrong. I'd have to explain it to you. I'd have to explain it to you.
Disagreement at all by your employees, because you have that authority over them, and they know, even because you say we're going to make more money.
Can you say that again?
We got to take a break. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Because that guy was all over. He was all over the road.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Next hour, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Robert Greene is joining us as we talk to the CEO of Fraser Foods, a large retail grocery outlet, about Proposition 19. We seem to be focusing on that, Bob, because you have said that your employees, you'd like them to vote for Prop 19. If they don't vote for Prop 19, You're not saying that they're fired, but there's some nebulous state here that we're not talking about. They are.
Well, Phil, I'm not firing them. I want to be as clear as I can, because I've had a lot of words put in my mouth tonight. I'm sorry I have to tell you that.
All right, well, put it as clearly as you want.
All right. If there is something that is on the ballot that is beneficial to my business, where is it written that my employees get to do things that are bad for my business? I don't understand that. I don't think any employee would understand that. If I'm in business and Proposition 19 is going to get people smoking marijuana and they're going to want to eat more, then my employees would understand that, and they'd vote for it. Anyone that would vote against it is suddenly asking for the right to not only work for me, but as they're working for me, drive me out of business and put me on a soup line. Now, I don't know if you saw that movie, Cinderella Man.
Yes, I did.
Oh, you did see that?
Yeah, Cinderella Man, yeah.
Well, I'm not going to wind up like that. I'm not going to stand on a soup line while some guy or woman is serving slop onto a metal tray that I go and I sit down on a bank of snow and eat. I won't have that. I won't let anyone do that to me.
Well, you're taking this to an extreme. You're saying anybody that votes against Proposition 19...
Anyone that votes against Proposition 19 is intentionally trying to wreck my business. And you want me to have that person as an employee.
I'm telling you that they have the right to vote as they wish, and you don't have the right to know what that vote is. 877-876-PHIL. Dave in Bellingham, Massachusetts, you're on a Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just kind of want to go back a little bit to something that was said. Did you honestly
see a lot of
say,
these guys
like,
when they're talking?
Hold on, Mr. Green. Hold on.
Do you honestly believe that marijuana causes people to go out and have homosexual tendencies?
My understanding is, and this is based on what law enforcement has told me, is that marijuana increases the libido to the point where you don't necessarily discriminate as to the gender of a sexual partner. That's my understanding.
That is the most distorted view I have ever heard in my life. You are so incredibly misinformed, sir.
Wait. I don't smoke marijuana, sir, so how do you?
No, I do not. However, I do have a lot of friends that do.
So how do you know? You don't smoke it either. And you have a lot of friends. And your friends are going to be honest with you and tell you that they had sex with a guy.
I can guarantee you none of them have. However, secondly...
Well, I don't know how you can do that, but you know what? As a gentleman, I'll take your word for it, but I don't know how you could possibly guarantee something like that.
Secondly, what, you own a grocery store? Is that what it is?
That is, I own a grocery chain, sir.
Okay. Well, I can assure most of the time, when people are high and they get the munchies and they want to go eat, they're not going to go to a grocery store. They're going to go to Wendy's, Taco Bell, McDonald's, Sonic. They're not going to go to a grocery store and want to work to make the food. They're going to want
maybe
to eat for them.
Well, you can buy all kinds of ready-made food in a grocery store. You can buy popcorn. You can buy donuts. You can buy candy. You know, my understanding is that a lot of these people that smoke this marijuana, they like to eat candy and donuts. And it's ready-made. It's much greater quality than what you're going to buy at a fast food place.
Well, you're going to go to Tasty Cream? What the hell's the name of that?
Krispy Kreme. We got Krispy Kreme. We got it all. So what I'm saying to my employees is simply this. If you want me to be put out of business and I'm standing in a bread line, why are you working here? I don't understand that.
I can assure you that if Prop 19 doesn't pass, you won't be in a bread line.
If Prop 19 doesn't pass, we continue this recession to the point where businesses are all threatened. And if I'm going to stand in a bread line with some guy putting slop on a tray, what do you do for a living, sir?
Right, I'm a security officer.
Oh, good luck.
Well, whatever that means.
Well, you know, with nothing to secure, how many security officers are they going to hire? And that's the other thing, too. You would have the opportunity to arrest potheads if they were smoking it in the wrong place. If it was legal, but you're not allowed to say smoke it near where you are, you could arrest them and further your career.
Well, he's not even in California.
I mean, it's Massachusetts. Don't they have a similar one?
Massachusetts has got its own thing going with weed. Anyway, thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. Moving on here to Stan on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Stan. You're on with Robert Green.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Mr. Henry?
Hey, listen, very good.
I want to make a quick statement, then I want to tell you how I feel about this. I was a head chef in a restaurant many years ago, a very successful restaurant. They could not sell... Hello? Are you there?
I'm just listening.
I'm right here, yeah.
Yeah, this restaurant couldn't sell liquor on Sunday. I was the head chef. The owner got a petition with 200 people and employees to get the liquor commission to let him sell liquor, and I wouldn't sign it because I don't drink. And I feel the same way. I got a question for you, Bob.
You didn't sign this, even though you're the head chef.
What's that?
Wow. You didn't. They were going to get liquor, and it reminds me of a joke, but I better not say it. They were going to get hard liquor in there, and you wouldn't let them do that, huh?
No, the state wouldn't let them do it. And I was the head chef, and I would not sign the petition because I don't drink. And if anyone had gotten in an accident that Sunday night, it'd be on me. And as far as not looking at the...
You're the head chef. How are they going to blame you for it?
Listen, as far as taking pictures of their ballots, I don't even tell my family members how I vote, and I don't ask them how they vote. It's nobody's business. Values are the only things a person has that he can truly call his own, and you have no right to take
true.
It from them.
Very, very true. Bob?
Well, let me respond to that.
Go ahead.
I think in this day and age, Stan, and I understand what you're saying, but in this day and age, we have no idea what's going on with our family. We don't really know. It's difficult now with so many prescription drugs that people take. Whether we have family members that are losing their minds, are they doing rational things? We don't know. You could go into that box and vote for Alfred E. Newman or draw funny faces. They'll never know. And I think we need to check. And
we need to check what? The ballots?
I think we do. Because we don't have any idea. We don't have any idea what our loved ones are doing. Are they in that ballot box urinating? What are they doing?
Where does the invasion of privacy end? Don't we have to draw a line somewhere?
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Absolutely, we do.
I'm guessing you have a meat department in your store. I work in a meat department now. I work in a meat department now.
Now? You work in a meat department.
I do now.
Are you you're the meat man?
Yeah, you're all for this. Let me ask you a question. Would you let your meat cutters come in stoned and work on those saws and handle those knives stoned? Don't you think that's asking for more trouble for you with your insurance company?
Well, here's the thing. You're talking about using it on the job. I never said use it on the job. I never said drink it on the job.
Hey, whoa. I'm talking about legalizing marijuana
so a guy can go into a store and buy a bag of donuts and go home and eat them in peace. And do I want to know what's going on in the ballot? How do I know that your relative or my relative isn't going in there and defecating on the floor?
Wait a minute. You're coming up with all kinds of screwy stuff now as a reason to invade the ballot box.
You haven't even answered my question.
Would
you let your meat cutters handle knives when they're stoned?
You're not allowed to use drugs on the job.
Why do you want other people to get stoned just so you can sell an extra bag of chips, but you won't let your employees be stoned?
That's them. That's them, and they're not. I'm assuming they're not working. They're leisurely smoking weed in a, or maybe they are. But at my place, they don't get to do that.
You know, I listened to you last week. Hey,
sir?
Listen.
Yes, sir.
You're real good at not letting people finish.
If they get stoned, it's on them, but they don't get to.
Well, you know what? You don't know if people are coming in high. The guy that comes into your store to buy donuts, what if he's coming off? What if he's working?
What about it?
What if he's a bus driver? What if he's a cab driver and he's getting high?
That's none of my business.
But it's your business to go into a voting booth and take a cell phone picture.
I think in the privacy of a voting booth where you could affect the future of a country and you're in there drawing funny faces and punching 15 different holes. You heard about what happened down in Florida, right?
All right. Anyway, sir, Stan, did you have one more comment?
I want to listen to this gentleman. I got one last comment. You need to think. There's a reason why they call this stuff dope, okay? All right, you guys have a good night.
I don't get it.
Dope, as in you're a dope. 87, not you, Bob, but 877-876-PHIL.
But Mr. Andrew, don't begin to give, get jokes going at my expense. Like, I'm a dope, you're a dope. I'm a business person.
No, I understand that. That gentleman brought that up. I was explaining it to you. You got two different things going here. You're talking about stoned on the job.
No, he was talking about stoned on the job. He's saying that because I want legalized weed, people are stoned on the job. I don't care if they don't work for me. If they do, let's talk about it. If he's a meat cutter, I don't want him handling my meat. You know, Mr. Henry?
Yeah?
I don't want him handling my meat. I don't want anybody handling my meat.
Well, how are you gonna have your meat handled then? You know, sir, grow up a little, okay?
I didn't say anything.
No, you're making the little jokes here. We're talking about... I could ask you, are you stoned right now?
How dare you?
Well, are you?
Why would you say that?
Because I'm talking about a very serious issue, and you're talking about meat handling. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Zeke. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir, with Robert Green. Zeke, you're on the air, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you there.
No problem.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes, I this is all very humorous because I agree with
no
you.
No kidding.
He sounds like he's stoned before
I
he came
you
on.
I'm not stoned.
On the show.
I'm not stoned. Yes, sir.
because he's gone from saying, yes, he's going to fire his employees if they don't vote for Proposition 19. To say no, I didn't say that. To say no, it's our right to know what's going on in the voting booth, and it's really no one's business what goes on in the voting booth, other than the person that's voting. If they're drawing circles, hey, that's their business. That's their right. And
do we allow the mentally ill? I didn't know we allowed the mentally ill to vote. Thank you for letting me know that. I didn't know we.
I would just say one thing, and that is, he has already opened himself up to a lot of trouble because he's already gone on record as stating that he will discipline our fire employees if they vote against 19. Very clearly is a violation of their civil rights. It's illegal.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the ACLU would be very glad to take him on, and I think their pockets are probably deeper than his.
Are you ACLU, sir? Because I bet you'd like to see that. I think the ACLU is the worst thing that's ever happened to this country. And
I don't want to talk about the ACLU. What about what this gentleman said, that you're telling people they're essentially fired if they don't vote for Prop 19?
I was telling someone that wouldn't you be happier working in a mission or in a church choir or in a gospel group? How is that firing them?
Well, why do you think they'd be happier working in a church mission?
Because they're opposed to marijuana on legal grounds or on moral grounds. That's number one.
Now, there's been an awful lot of discussion here about a lot of different issues. Somebody said to me, do you have the right to go into the voting booth? No, I do not. However, I would like to. Why? Because I don't know what they're doing in there. If they're going in there, urinating, drawing with the feces on the...
Come on, but you know, you're talking about some nightmare from Bedlam, man. We're talking about the voting booth.
I don't know what they're doing. And if they're... If...
Anything else, Zeke?
Zeke, thank you so much.
No. All right, sir, very good. We're going to take a break. I appreciate your call. Did you say something, Bob?
I think it is.
877-876-PHIL. Now he's crying. Check out and find out how that guy is. 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line, okay, we do have on the line one of his fired employees, Marilyn, who was let go by him. We're going to talk to her and Mr. Green in a moment of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You guys are going to be sorry.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. If we have time, Mr. Green, we do have one of the employees that she claims she was fired. Her name is Marilyn.
I know Marilyn very well.
Okay, and if we have time, we're going to talk to her on the air here. Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Nadine joins us here from Los Angeles. Nadine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi.
Yes, hello, ma'am.
I just wanted to say the gentleman with the business, he's an idiot,
yep.
He's stupid, and he wants to invade his employees' privacy. That's why they have the booth for us to vote in, because it's nobody's business. It's between the voter and God. And he is not God.
No, you're right, I'm not God. But what's wrong with them coming to me as a loyal employee and saying, Mr. Green, here's how I voted? If I didn't ask them to do that...
Okay, if they want to tell him on their own, then that's fine. But for him to demand that they take a camera picture or a phone picture, that's not right.
I suggested that they take a picture of the ballot for a lot of reasons. One of them is what happened in 2000. Are the chads hanging? You know. And so you want to make sure that those things are in place. The last I checked, Nadine, there's no rule against taking a cell phone picture of your ballot. It may be a loophole in the law, but...
Well, what are you asking them to do?
I'm asking them to simply test the veracity and the, you know, the strength of the law. Can you take a cell phone picture of your ballot?
Why would you, the CEO of a grocery chain, want to check that?
It's an interest that I have in civics. And I'm sure Nadine understands, right? Nadine? If I...
Yes?
Have you ever done that, Nadine, taking a cell phone picture of your ballot?
No, I haven't, and I never will.
Why not?
It's nobody's business what I put on my ballot.
But no, for you, as a souvenir. Here's the day that I voted for instance, a lot of people wanted to memorialize voting for President Obama. Here's the day I voted for President Obama, you know.
But that's not why you want them to do that. You want to see it.
Right. But it's an invasion of privacy.
No, I do not. No, I do not want to see it. Not if it means that much. No, I don't.
Are they going to still have a job if they don't show you the ballot?
What was this we were talking about, invasion of privacy?
Are they... What do you mean?
Well, you're butting into my business, asking me about this, that.
All right, Nadine, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Alice in Pennsylvania. Alice, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green. Go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you. I just want to
say... Yes, ma'am.
You want to take a picture of the cell phone picture of your ballot, fine, but he has no business seeing it. And the other thing is, legalization of marijuana is a good thing to do. If we look back at prohibition and all the bad things that happened because of that, if we look at all the criminal activity that's going on in our borders, legalization is tacit. We can monitor it. The police can pull you over. You can have laws to govern it. And it would be safer, but this gentleman who's trying to invade the principles of our freedom of our country, carrying it to going back to a communist country with knowing who does what and everything about it.
I just want to legalize marijuana, ma'am. I'm trying to get marijuana legalized so that when we have it legalized, my business benefits, Krispy Kreme,
sir. I actually agree with you about legalization of it.
Exactly.
I work in the medical profession, but my point to you is you are making the most ridiculous arguments for it, talking about feces and urine in a ballot booth. If you had a little bit more intelligence, you could think of some better points to produce.
Well, ma'am, I'm worried about what happens in a ballot booth.
That has nothing to do with your argument, sir. That has nothing to do with your argument to legalize marijuana.
But we know from 2000 that some very weird things happen inside those ballot booths.
There's
very
nothing
weird.
Wrong with taking the picture of your ballot, but you have no business seeing it.
I want to make sure that it's a picture of a ballot and not something else. And this is the other thing that I wanted to mention.
Are you
going into these? No, ma'am. She's laughing.
What is your point?
What's to stop some old lady from going into that booth and suddenly turning it into a porn studio? Where she's sticking the camera up.
See, you have no intelligent argument for the legalization of marijuana.
I did. Ma'am, I brought up a very intelligent argument, and everybody was telling me I was a communist and a Nazi.
Yeah,
and then
you are.
I said, boy, that hurts. That really hurt. From a fellow dope smoker, that hurts.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Last night and earlier today, our intelligence and law enforcement professionals...
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is strong, determined, and frustrated.
Continually in your boardroom, you would point out who you found to be attractive.
Ready for it? Here it comes. This is ridiculous. In 3, 2, 1.
That's very tough to swallow.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Show where truth is our bitch, where justice in the American way, we try anyway. Through the looking glass we go, taking audiences places other talk shows would like to but can't. Cannot. Coming up this hour, a terror plot against the United States was thwarted this morning. And joining us to discuss that will be Ted Bell, plus all to come on our program tonight. Peruvians are ticked off at a recent episode of Modern Family. And this is something that has sparked some outrage. Our website is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. And we head on out to Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's in Beverly Hills, and I'm Ted Bell. I'll be joining Bill in this segment of the program. And, brother, have we got prime rib? Don't even ask me that with a straight face.
Here at Ted's.
In Beverly Hills.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
Well, you got prime rib, right?
Oh, we got prime rib. When people say, do you have prime? We're never not with the slow-roasted prime rib, Bill, that we put on the map. In Beverly Hills, and
well, I'm going to tell you something. I had your prime rib that Sunday night. We were out there about a month ago. Unbelievable, man.
Oh yeah. It goes without saying. We do a great job. We set a nice, as my mother used to say, we set a nice table.
You do, Ted. Thanks for joining us. And big news today on the terror front.
Well, it was very big news, and it was a big day, for Barack Obama. There's no question about that.
Let me get people up to speed here, Ted, because we have some audio to play as well as the story to tell, okay?
Right, and then we can discuss that.
Right, and I've got a little bit of a broken line there for Ted, so maybe we can get him on a better line, bud. 877-876-PHIL. Authorities on three continents thwarted multiple terrorist plots, multiple terrorist attacks aimed at the United States from Yemen. And that happened today, seizing two explosive packages addressed to Chicago-area synagogues and packed aboard cargo jets. The plot triggered worldwide fears that Al-Qaeda was launching a major new terror attack. President Obama here this morning spoke to reporters about the so-called suspicious packages.
Last night and earlier today, our intelligence and law enforcement professionals working with our friends and allies identified two suspicious packages bound for the United States, specifically two places of Jewish worship in Chicago. Those packages have been located in Dubai and East Midlands Airport in the United Kingdom. An initial examination of those packages has determined that they do apparently contain explosive material.
White House counterterrorism chief John Brennan was asked by a reporter if this incident was a dry run for a future terrorist attack.
I think, as the president noted, it does appear that there were explosive materials in both of these packages, that they were in a form that was designed to try to carry out some type of attack. The forensic analysis is underway. We are relying heavily and working closely with our partners in this regard. But clearly, from the initial observations, the initial analysis that's done, that the materials that were found and the device that was uncovered was intended to do harm.
Press Secretary Robert Gibbs is asked by a reporter to respond to the inevitable allegations by some that this terror plot wasn't legitimate and is being set up by the administration to sway voters to stick with Democrats next week's election.
I think John briefed the president at 10:35 last night. Off of very credible terror information. And after, I think that's largely put to rest any speculation that may be out there after the testing the president talked about that showed apparent explosives in those devices. Counterterrorism officials at all levels of our government quickly went into action in order to take the steps necessary to protect the American people. That is exactly what has governed his actions and the actions of those in this government since that time.
All right, so Ted, that's kind of cynical, and isn't that just a little paranoid?
Well, I think so, Phil. I would say that that the American people deserve to have the information, to have correct information. There's no question about it. But I would also say that we have we're duty bound, Phil.
I got to interrupt you. You've got there's a problem on your line. We're having a lot of static.
All right.
I don't know why that is, but maybe we can get another phone hooked up here somehow, Bud. Probably what we'll just sort of tough it out here till the break. But while we're talking with you, Ted, you're saying that this is a credible concern to say that, well, maybe the Democrats are phony baloneying this thing?
Well, we know that they're not. We know that the Democrats are not doing that, and we're at this point, we take the president's word, and we take Robert Gibbs' word that's not the case. Now, having said that, I don't think there's anything wrong with expressing some suspicion that the president is going to try to lord over everyone this experience. Look, I give the president his due. It was a terror threat to our country. The president and his security team and the security apparatus of the United States of America went to work and neutralized this threat at this particular point. Okay. And you'll forgive me, as a conservative and as someone who wants to see the Republican Party do better in the election, you'll forgive me for saying I'm a little bit disappointed.
What are you disappointed in?
Well, I'm a little bit disappointed that Gibbs stands there, forgotten man, and, oh, yeah, this is credible, yeah. All right, so it's credible.
Well, you said you're willing to take the president's word for this. I do, especially when they found the explosive material.
And I do. I do take the president's word. I don't think they're... But you can't help, as an individual who loves this country as deeply as I do, you can't help but be a little disappointed that one of those bombs didn't go off and take out an aircraft or take out part of a hangar. And
What are you saying?
What I'm saying, it's a fantasy, Phil. I don't want anyone to die. I'm not even saying this is best case scenario. I'm not saying it's worst case scenario. I'm saying it's just, it's if nobody could get blamed scenario, and I say it's too bad that we didn't have an aircraft blow up or something, and I don't want anyone to die, and I don't want anyone to get hurt. But had that happened, you know as well as I do, the Democrats would be buried in the forthcoming election, and that would be the end for Obama. There's no question.
And well, I don't necessarily agree with you. President Bush survived two terms after the 9/11 attack.
Yeah, but that was the first attack of its kind ever in the history of the country. After that, we put into place these security measures that kept the country safe throughout President Bush's term. Now Obama comes on board. Guess what? Boom, boom, boom. I don't know how many bombs did they say there were, Phil.
But the indication was that it was two, maybe three.
All right, boom, boom, boom. That's three. And you know, you can talk about Barack Obama's legacy as President of the United States as the following thing. President Barack Obama, boom, 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 you know, the blow-up sound.
Ted, is this not a time for us to say as Americans, our president, our armed forces, our Congress, as Americans, we want our government to be in place and do well to protect us. These are American citizens, right?
Yes, we do. We absolutely do. There's no question about it. And I'm the first guy in line. I'm the first guy in line to shake President Obama's hand. If he were to be announced, President Obama is going to be standing at such and such a place so that people can go up and shake his hand for handling this terror threat very well, I'd be the first in line. No one would get ahead of me. It would be me. And the president would be there, and I would say, President, but not only would I shake his hand, I'd say, President Obama, here's some coffee, because I know it's early, and you got a lot of hands to shake, you know. Because everybody, you know, there's an old saying, Phil, there's an old saying that says that success has many fathers. Failure is an orphan. So when you're successful, everyone wants to know you. The problem is, that wasn't George Bush there.
Your problem is that's a Democratic president who is doing his job. He may be a Democrat, but he's doing his job as president.
That's correct. But again, you have to remember, myself and other conservatives, Obama looks like a strong commander in chief now. And had a bomb gone off, the Republicans take back the Senate, we get the House, we got it. You know, if only we had at least we didn't need to see, I don't want deaths, but if we could have taken out a hangar, something that would have been a fireball on the front page of a newspaper is going to get people's attention. And so...
Well, you know, this is a very cynical conversation, in my opinion.
Why?
Why? Boy, we'd get the House and the Senate if only we had a fireball.
We need to... Let me tell you something, my young friend, and you may not know this, but we need to get back...
Thank you for the young part, by the way.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Phil. You're young at heart. You know, and if you're young at heart, you're young. We need to get back the House and Senate as Republicans.
877-876-PHIL. We have on the line with us Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're going to take a break and get back to Ted and some of your calls as he's taking... I don't want to say, I don't even believe that that's a predictably Republican point of view. I think it's a cynical point of view to say, oh, President Obama did a good job, but boy, oh boy, if we just had one explosion, man, we'd get the House and the Senate back. 877-876-PHIL is our number on the line here. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is joining us as we talk about today's terror plot thwarted as U.S.-bound explosives seized. World famous Phil Henry Show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I got a Shirley Temple or something. I can't drink it.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Get to Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Hey, you heard Phil Henry at the top of the show. Our prime rib is raring to go. It's, of course, prime rib. It's cooked, but it's almost as if it's still alive.
Here at Ted's.
It's ready to trot on there.
And Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills joining us, sponsoring this segment of the program. We got some stuff to talk over here, Ted, concerning this terror threat today. Fortunately, there were no deaths. Fortunately, there was no destruction. You made the statement, and we've heard this before. We don't want President Obama to succeed.
Well, Phil, that has nothing whatsoever to do with the safety of the American people.
Well, no, I didn't hear anybody making any, qualifications there. I heard people saying they didn't want the president to succeed. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think I said anything of the sort, Phil.
I heard you say it's too bad we didn't have an explosion or a fireball on a front page because that means the House and the Senate.
I didn't say anything about killing human beings. I didn't say anything about dead Americans. What I said was what we needed today, and this is unfortunate. You're sort of spinning my words a little bit. What we needed today was to see something get blown out of the air, something to show that this guy, Obama, with all due respect to the office of the president, this guy is not getting the job done. And I can't think of anything more convincing than a fuselage floating in the Atlantic. Now,
doesn't that mean a dead pilot?
In what, of the aircraft?
Yes.
Well, the pilot's dead. Yeah, I thought you were talking about thousands and thousands of lives. I don't want to see that happen.
But a dead pilot or two, not a problem.
Mr. Henry, you're beginning to get into it. You're starting to, in the words of the street, you're starting to piss me off.
Well, sir, I'm asking questions, and we deserve straight answers. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Oscar. Oscar in Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Oscar. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, listening on KPRC tonight.
Yes, sir. First of all, as a member of the Republican Party, I'm ashamed to have this guy call himself a Republican when he's adhering and condoning any kind of violence brought into our country to get rid of any opposition to political figures. Sir, if you have a problem with Obama and you want a Republican representative, then you need to go out in politics and not try to wish or condone any kind of violence in the country to get rid of any of your political means. Let me ask you this.
You're saying you want to see Obama succeed. You remember what Rush said. We don't want him to succeed.
Don't start giving us Rush's words. He can do that for himself.
Well, that's what he said. We don't want the guy to succeed.
Okay, I don't have a problem with your political motives, but first of all, okay. This is our country, and for you to sit there and say, "Oh, too bad we don't have a fireball or pilots," falling to the sea to get rid of a Democrat. Let me tell you something. Are you actually involved in the Republican Party?
I vote conservative, sir. I vote conservative. Do I do anything? I work for a living. I've got a business. And the Republican Party stands for business. I own a business. I do everything that I can to can. Let me tell you, the very prominent people that come into my restaurant, I'm in Los Angeles, California, out here, Beverly Hills. So I've got a lot of prominent Republicans that come in, and we do a lot of confabbing and talking. And boy, I'll tell you, there was more than one of them today that came in and said, it would have been nice,
What would have been nice?
I was thinking about stopping off your restaurant, but after your remarks and stuff, what is the name of your place, Heads of Hollywood?
If you're not coming in, what difference does it make?
Well,
I'll tell you my business.
I am 47-year-old Republican. What's my age? How old are you? Let's talk about your age.
How old am I? I'm 38. I'm 40.
38 going on about 70.
No, I'm 40. I'm 47. I'm 45.
How old are you, Ted?
I said I'm 41. Wait, here's the guy. He's laughing. This guy is laughing. You know what? I hope you enjoy having four more years of Obama, sir, because you have called up tonight and basically campaigned for him. You've campaigned for him.
You've campaigned for him. And I support the country, United States of America. Okay,
right.
And I'm gonna tell you this right now. I do not agree with a lot of Obama's reforms and everything. And
you don't sound like it to me. You sound like a Democrat.
Let's let the man. The man has said some very sensible things. He's saying I'm a Republican, but I don't want to see the president fail to the extent that we have a terror attack.
What did Rush tell us all? What did Rush try to tell us?
Will you knock it off with what did Rush tell us? What is he, Jesus?
A few of us happen to think he's damn close to Jesus, yes. Yes, Rush Limbaugh said, you cannot hope for the success of Obama, otherwise you know, he'll be.
What did he say? I don't even know what he said.
He said, we don't want him to succeed. We want him to fail. I hope for his failure.
All right, let me tell you something. I'll tell you something straight up.
Today, you're out there going,
yay. I hate to see him fail in anything because whenever he fails, this country is still failing.
That's right exactly
now,
right.
Right now, we need America to succeed. We need America to go forward.
Exactly.
We are in a very trial time for our country. We are in a trial time as far as our border, as far as religion, as far as economy. And I'm going to tell you, for us to succeed, we all need to be on the. We all need to be a team effort. Until Obama leaves.
Well, ain't that cozy?
I'm going to do the American way. I'm going to support my country and my crew, and I will sit there and I will. If I want to discuss politics at my home or with friends, I will do that. And then I
would. I want to ask Mr. Henry a question. What drill team were you on in high school? I'm asking Mr. Henry a question right now, sir. I wanted to know, Mr. Henry, what drill team did you see you on?
I didn't say I was on a drill team.
You weren't a cheerleader?
No.
Well, there you are going, yeah, 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 yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I mean, you might as well say, score, score, you know. Push him back, way back, the way you're cheering this guy on and making a sponsor of your program. You're making the sponsor of your program sit here and towel, whatever you want to call it, off of my chin. Now, I can tell this gentleman this. I don't want to see people die, and I don't think you heard me right. I said a couple of fuselages floating.
Yeah,
what's that?
Did you not say
You said two pilots would be fine.
Well, I'm not talking about 3,000 people.
But two guys dead, two pilots. Two guys piloting a cargo jet over the Atlantic, bringing some freight into our country. God, you know, these men probably have wives and children just like anybody else. But, boy, it would have been sweet, man, for the House and the Senate if that had blown out of the air.
That's not what I... Boy, one thing I don't like... I don't mind us saying we want to put our meat in your mouth, but I don't want you sticking my foot into my own mouth. You're grabbing my foot and pushing it up into my own mouth. And I don't appreciate that.
We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Sticking your foot into your mouth.
That's what you're doing. It's like you're reaching over and grabbing my foot and going, here, put it in your mouth.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Tats of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Welcome down to Tats of Beverly Hills. Listen, I know I'm sponsoring this segment and I'm talking politics. At Tats, I don't talk politics. We've got meat, your mouth, you'll love it.
Here at Tats,
we're in Beverly Hills.
You want to put our meat in your mouth.
And I'll just fill it.
Thank you, Ted. I got it. 877-876-PHIL as we talk here to Ted of Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're discussing this terror plot that unfolded before our very eyes today. And I think it caught all of us a little bit. What happened to, I would ask my producer, Jason and Tebby, Jace Rance, to go ahead and throw those notes up, because I've got a couple of notes I want to present to you, Ted, as we talk about this. But you're saying, and I think it's a frightening thing, that failure by the American security apparatus today, by the European, by the intelligence services of these different countries, would have been good for Republicans.
Well, if you want to, let me say something, all right? The dead people, I won't talk about it. You know, they wouldn't have been Americans. They would have been European. But all right, let's just say that...
No, that's not good enough, okay?
All right, it's not good enough. If there were a God and he was Republican, we would have at least, and I'm just playing now with I'm just, it's a what if. What if God were a Republican for whatever reason? We would have had at least a small, there would have been at least a small glow on the horizon. And what do I mean by that? All right, I'll tell you. A small fireball, which would mean maybe one jet engine. So I'm kind of concerned about next week's election. The Senate races in West Virginia and Colorado and California are very, very tight right now. We could have used something for the front page. If you want to make me the martyr over these comments, then so be it. I'll be the martyr. I'm happy to be the martyr. I'm the point man. I've always been a point man. I've always been the guy that draws the fire of the enemy. You want me walking down that road, taking a sniper's bullet between the eyes? Great, fine, yes, okay, I will. I'll be the Jesus of the GOP for saying what we're all thinking but not saying, and that is that I wish there'd been at least one. And you know what happens, Phil, is that the sound hits you after you see the light, and then you hear boom, like freeze.
I understand that. I understand all. I don't really care. I don't think that's necessary.
Phil, I said European pilots.
It doesn't matter about European pilots. What you're saying here is that the Republican Party would have benefited from a fireball, whatever that means, one plane or something. And
I'm telling you, and I'm saying, let me say this to the people that are listening right now. If they're Tea Party, if they're Republican, if they're conservative, I'm saying what you're thinking. All right?
Yeah, that's very presumptive.
Presumption?
It's very presumptive of you.
No, I don't think it is. I'm saying what they're thinking, and they don't have the guts. So let's talk a little bit right now, Phil. Let's not talk about Obama. Let's not talk about progressives. Let's talk about the people that I break bread with. Let's talk about the people that I walk on the razor's edge with. Let's talk about my fellow conservatives who haven't got the guts. Because if there was a God and he was Republican, we would have...
I know, we would have had at least one fireball.
Well, I'm concerned
about... You're concerned about elections in Virginia, Colorado, and California.
And what I'm saying is that Bill O'Reilly... I'm saying what O'Reilly and Beck don't have the guts to say. But I've got bigger... I got bigger cojones than those two sellouts who are leaving me hanging out here to twist in the breeze. Well, I'm Ted Bell. And... you know, that means something. I'm Ted Bell. Go anywhere in this town and say, Ted Bell, I'm Ted Bell. And I say what I think, and I say what other people haven't got the guts to say.
So the Republican Party's thinking that, huh?
I believe the conservatives in this country, yes.
And you deserve an award for coming out and saying that?
I didn't say an award, Phil.
Well, you're talking high and mighty, so for coming out and saying that deaths and property destruction today would have been good for the conservative and Republican Party, you're saying what everyone's thinking, they haven't got the guts to say.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank you. Thank you very much. You put that very concisely. Thank you. I thank you for that.
All right.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm thanking you.
Yeah, you're thanking me. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call. Here we have Aaron. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell, sir.
Hey, Ted, what's going on, bud? What are you talking about? You want some people to die from... Republicans aren't going to benefit from that. Think about that. You're hurting the cause.
I already thought about it. It means Obama blew it as commander-in-chief.
Obama is the president
of the United States. He's the president of the United States.
If Obama's a pawn,
it doesn't make any difference,
right?
Because people will see that he failed, and we win. Now, what side are you on? Let's quit fooling around. What side are you on?
What side are you on?
Right, whoa. Let's watch that.
What side are you on, my friend?
You want to come down and talk on Garvey? You want to talk? Come talk your crap down on Garvey. Come on down to Garvey and talk your crap down there.
What are you doing now? What are you talking about, okay?
I'm talking to a guy that's talking out of his ass here. I said that Obama is the guy that's going to fail, and this guy won't even tell me what member of... What political party are you a member of?
He is failing.
What political party are you a member of?
Don't worry about it. He's failing because of his overspending.
I told you, he's got no guts.
I think we can assume this guy agrees with you.
Right. He's a conservative with no guts. Just like the Tea Partiers, just like the rest of the Republican Party, no.
I'm a business owner. I'm a Republican business owner.
A business owner?
Republican.
What do you run a car wash at the gas station?
No, what do you do, business owner? I run a construction business. I run a construction business, buddy.
You got a nail bag. In other words, you got a nail bag.
A steel stud, drywall,
construction business.
Yeah, you go on, you do all that for a fee. Okay, so you work out of your truck.
For a fee,
good,
yeah,
good for you.
I get paid.
Yeah, good
That's
for
right.
you. Good for you. Yeah, you got a DBA.
Obama,
good for you.
Obama, listen to my issues now.
You, go, you don't have anything to say to me.
Will you listen to this man, okay? Listen to him.
The more you
go ahead, Aaron.
The more you keep going, bud. Obama.
Now you're calling me a drunk. Now you're calling me a drunk.
You've been drinking, I can tell. I haven't been drinking.
What I have been doing is I've been crying. I've been crying for this country.
I want to hear what this gentleman has to say, Ted. And if I've got to put you on hold, that's what I'm going to do.
He's been drinking too, because he's not even listening to you.
Go ahead, Aaron.
I've been crying too because Obama is spending way too much money, spending $16 million to renovate mosques that aren't even in the United States. Spending $100 million on a vacation to India to rent out the Taj Mahal, and people are losing their houses.
Why don't you talk about what we're talking about instead of your little agenda about Obama and the Taj Mahal? I'm talking about the fact we need another Republican in the White House, and we need Republicans in the Senate and in the House, and the way to do that is to have some of those planes blow up. Mr. Henry doesn't want me to say it because he doesn't have the guts.
I don't even agree with you politically. Well, all right, Aaron, thanks so much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on now to Ginger. What do we got going on here? No, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Ginger on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, Phil, I mean, I've never even heard of Ted Bell. Who the hell is Ted Bell? And he doesn't represent the Republican Party.
Excuse me, ma'am, but where are you calling from, ma'am? Where are you calling from, ma'am? I'm Ted Bell. Where are you calling from?
Arcadia, California, one of the strongest Republican cities in L.A. County, sir, and you don't represent
That's Mr. Henry's.
No,
hold on. That's Mr. Henry's hometown. Is that your hometown, Phil?
Arcadia is my hometown, yes.
Is what she's saying true?
You don't have to ask me. The lady's right. It's a very Republican city. My mother and father are Republicans.
And she's calling from Arcadia.
Did Mr. Bell just
yes, ma'am.
From Arcadia?
No, I'm from Arcadia, and he asked me where
not.
I was from. Yes, I am from.
Oh,
I'm Phil Henry.
God.
I'm from Arcadia.
You know what? Sir, can I just say something? You are as damaging to the Republican Party as a terrorist.
No, you're not talking to the right person. You're not talking to the right person. I'm Phil Henry, the host. You mean Ted Bell, right?
Yes. I'm so sorry, Mr. Henry.
That's the kind of person I'm talking about, Bill. This lady here who insulted you, called you every filthy name.
Okay.
What do you mean, every filthy name?
No, she's sitting there in your hometown. You were born and raised there, and that woman is sitting there with her...
Oh, you know what?
All right, can we all calm down for just a moment?
Arcadia,
let's calm down, okay?
You've never been in this city. Ever.
Now, who are you talking to?
Tell me one thing about Arcadia that you would know.
Wait. Who are you talking to, Ted Bell or me?
Okay, you know what? I have a feeling
this woman is mental. This woman is mental. She doesn't even know who she's talking to.
Ginger, my name is Phil Henry. I was born in Pasadena, raised in Arcadia. 7th Avenue, Huntington Drive, Baldwin Avenue. I went to Arcadia High. I graduated in 1970. Mr. Ackerman, okay, I know everybody there.
Are you serious?
Ted Bell.
Mr. Henry, seriously?
Yeah, what do we do? Is this old?
That's really great, Bill. So you got old home week going here?
Mr. Bell, who's on the line here from Beverly Hills, was questioning your veracity because you come from my hometown.
So here's what I'd like you to do.
Here's what I want you to do, Ginger. State your case, and then Ted can respond.
Okay. Well, is he going to let me?
Yes, because I'm putting him on hold.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Bell, this is Ginger from Arcadia. I live in one of the most Republican cities in L.A. County, sir. I have been a Republican since the first day that I ever voted. And you do not represent me or any Republican I've ever spoken to. You are as bad and as damaging to the Republican Party as the terrorists are to the Muslim religion and skinheads are to Christianity.
All right, Ted, your response?
Well, if you've got your mother calling in, I can't.
What do you mean, my mother?
Well, that woman's obviously related to you. Yeah, she's obviously related to you, or she's a friend of yours. She's called me a skinhead. She's called me a Nazi. She's called me a communist. No. When you listened to Rush Limbaugh and he said, we don't want Obama to win, we want him to fail, and you went, yay, at your little radio, well, guess what?
No, I
did not, sir.
You know what,
yes,
sir?
You did. You were listening to your little radio, listening to Rush, just like
Obama,
you're listening to...
But once that man became my president, I had to support him. You are absolutely damaging to the Republican Party.
You listened to the Frank Beck show, and when he said that, now Obama has a big day, and you're all going, oh, whoopee-doo. You know,
well, what
no,
are you saying, Bill?
You're
saying, why don't we have people...
Yeah, well, what am I saying?
You're saying that you want people dead so that that Obama can get defeated and that Republicans will go into office and a bunch of stuff.
You know what? The both of you are boring. Really dumb.
And you don't represent the Republicans in any way. You know what? You and that fool down in Florida that was ready to burn one of those Muslim books, you two ought to head off this continent because somebody is going to shoot you for what you're saying. You know that?
So now we know the truth. You're threatening me. Are you going to be the one shooting me?
She didn't say that.
Yeah, I would definitely threaten you. Anybody else? You are,
because you are continuing to
represent an entire party. You know what you are? You're nothing but a fame whore. You are better than Paris Hilton. You're no better than Paris Hilton.
Is that Harry Potter talk? A Bane whore?
You know what? Why don't you put it on the TV and get with what is going on today? Because
what is going on today? Harry Potter.
Half of the voters, sir, are between the ages of 19 and 35. Your old, tired butt.
Well, and you're on the other end of that, aren't you? Okay, so you're about 20 years past that,
too. You are not in touch with anybody that is in touch with what's going on today.
I'm not in touch with anybody that's in touch with that includes you.
Oh, really? I don't even know how you get airtime. Seriously.
I got you on that one.
Yeah, okay. It's no wonder you're on.
This is ridiculous.
At 7 a.m. when everybody's going to listen to you.
Yeah, except
well,
for Ginger,
anyway, Mr.
Wait,
Henry.
What are you doing?
I'm not talking to you now. Sorry, Ted. Bye.
You know what? I'm going to say this. I hate you.
Arcadia.
Thank you. I'm always coming back to Arcadia. Got good friends there. Great town. Ginger, my hometown. Thank you so much. Where'd she go? 877-876. What the hell is going on?
Another thing. You tell that son.
877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Dear old Arcadia, this is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Ain't that where Seabiscuit got it?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Come on down to Ted's, the same way that David G. Hall, the vice president of syndication for Mr. Hendry's show, he's down here right now eating my food and drinking my booze for free.
Here at Ted's
of Beverly Hills.
Right, now hold on for a minute.
No, you hold on.
No, hold on for a minute.
No. Bill, I'm saying something good. David G. Hall is here. He's over in the prime rib room because we set him up there. He wants to watch the ball game. And he's eating and drinking on my dime. Now how do you feel?
It doesn't change my political philosophy at all.
Oh, your political philosophy. That you want business to do well. You want business to do well?
Yes, I do, and I don't see how business is going to do... You know what I think, and you know what I've said on this show, that business has itself to blame for a lot of the problems that it's in.
Business has itself... Everybody knows it's Obama's fault.
No, not everybody. Some people who actually think about these things know that there's a lot more going into it than just Obama and Bush. Okay.
Well, your boss...
He ain't my boss. He's the guy that sells the show.
Well, he really ain't selling the show tonight. He's been slopping up Porterhouse and drinking Ted's. Boy, you'd think that the spiced Captain Morgan's rum, they were going out of business the way this guy is running me out, man. I mean, this guy is drinking me out of house and home.
Oh, bullcrap. You know, why don't you let me talk to him?
Well, would you do me a favor?
What?
Don't mention I said drinking me out of house. I mean, I was kidding about that.
Oh, you're kidding about that now, huh?
Would you please not?
I won't say anything, Ted, but don't come on the air and make a guy sound like he's a slovenly glutton when it serves your purpose and then say, oh, well, please don't say anything.
I'd appreciate it. Hold on. I did. Hey, Phil, how you doing?
I'm good, David. You enjoying yourself?
I'm enjoying myself very much. I was listening to some of the segments driving over here. Now, my question is this. Ted Bell is a sponsor of ours. Right now, I'm sitting here. I'm having a steak. I had a porterhouse. I had the porterhouse for two. And I had, some of the aperitifs, as you say, and I've had some cocktails. When I'm sitting in a man's restaurant, and I'm eating his food, and I'm drinking his booze, what are you doing calling him some kind of a fascist swine?
I never used that word.
You know what I'm saying.
Well, I didn't know, David. Maybe you want to... One of the things you could do is maybe text message me.
I told you to. Text message you? What do I look like? Do I look like I'm 15? I told you to say that.
Well, what do you... Okay, how about calling me?
With what?
A cell phone.
Yeah, well, I've got a cell phone, okay? And you know what what do they call it, Ted? The media charges. The media charges are murdering me.
Wait a minute. I'm talking about calling me, not sending me a text.
Oh, I know that, but I sent some videos to... I told you I sent the videos to my girlfriend.
Okay, so that's...
We'll talk about it later. But what I'm asking you is this.
I didn't know you were Ted's.
Yes, you did, because I told you that in the meeting today. I don't leave any stone unturned.
All right, well, okay, so I forgot.
I told you to say you forgot. Well, Ted predicted you'd say you forgot. So right now, I owe him for a porterhouse because I lost that bet. Thanks. How do you feel about that, Bill?
You know something? I'm going to hang up now because I got a show to do.
That's not fair. I mean,
877-876-PHIL. I have no idea what those guys are betting on.
Yeah, but if he's over there having a steak and everything, yeah, I'd be more careful.
I don't know the guy's over having a steak, and even if I did know he was over having a steak. This guy wants to come on the show as a sponsor and talk about the, quote, issues of the day. That's what we're going to do. Okay?
Yeah, what was he having?
Well, he was having a... Who cares what he was having? He was over there, in the words of Ted and David, eating the guy's food and drinking his booze. That's what he's doing. All right. Wow. 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Our news hour is coming up next. We're going to be talking with Bud Dickman along with Robert Leonard. A new James Franco movie is what they're calling it, but it's actually a new film by, who's the guy? What's the name of the guy? Danny Boyle? The guy that did Slumdog Millionaire has done a film about that poor young man. The kid who got his arm caught in the boulder and had to cut his own arm off, it stars James Franco, and people, and I'm quoting now, people are vomiting watching the movie. We'll talk about it. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Another baked potato.
Phil Henry.
More apple pie? Certainly.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Continually in your boardroom, you would point out who you found to be
last attacked. Night and earlier today, our intelligence and law enforcement...
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is strong, determined, and...
Continually in your boardroom, you would point out who you found to be attractive or not.
Ball tapping.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, where we go through the looking glass, we go beyond, we go places talk shows can't go, won't go, couldn't go, don't have the talent for. You know the drill, man. Audience members puke their guts out while watching the new Danny Boyle film. Well, that happened the last Danny Boyle film, didn't it? No, it didn't. The last Danny Boyle film was Slumdog Millionaire. What is going on? Well, he made a movie about that young man, that rock climber whose arm got caught in that boulder. Also, a man beats the priest he says molested him as a child, and a boss encourages his employees to vote for the Republicans if... they want a raise. 877-876-PHIL is our number. And what are we starting out with here, man? What's the story we're starting out with here, man? Are we starting out with the guy with the movie? I don't know what, Danny Boy? Our website is philhenryshow.com, and over there you can get all of the downloads that you want. All of the quality audio that is Phil Hendry audio is available on our website. There's a lot of bootleg garbage out there, the audio of which is crap. And, you know, we're continually fighting that. But the fact is, on our website, with thousands of hours of archives and downloads and our daily archives, our daily podcasts, I should say, as well as our daily video cast, you can watch right now if you're watching us online. It's all worth it. Get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. All right. Audience vomits and faints during a Franco movie.
Man, you got to be sicker than hell to. I don't even believe this.
Is this true? Are they saying that to make the movie more attractive?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know. There have been so many stories about movies down through the years having to do with the audience did this and the audience did that, that you wonder whether you're being jacked around by people. I've heard a story that has gone on for decades, that when the very first Frankenstein movie came out with Boris Karloff, you guys know this one?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the first one, right?
The first one, the black and white. That when the first, there's a shot in that movie of Frankenstein, the very first shot of the monster, played by Boris Karloff, is from the neck up. So you see this very crisp black and white image of this hideous face. And the story is that people were running out of the theaters. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's because I've seen so many movies and I've seen so many special effects that it's tough for me to believe. But I've heard all kinds of horse dung. And I've gone to see these movies where they said, oh, a guy threw up and another person did this. And the two films that are in my memory, what's the most violent movie you heard about, Bud?
When they talked about the Passion on Jesus and everything they'd done.
Passions of the Christ.
Yeah, that's the one I heard. That one and Saving Private Ryan, they said it was all messed up, you know.
Okay, those are two good examples. Saving Private Ryan and The Passion of the Christ. Both of those films were heralded as the most gruesome, violent, upsetting films ever. Now, I have a philosophy, and the philosophy is the following thing. As much as the film industry wants to tell us that they're just showing us real life, they do not show us real life. They do not show us real life. They don't even come close to showing us real life, because if they were showing us real life, we would be as traumatized as those individuals who that stuff happens to in real life. We wouldn't be laughing at it. We wouldn't be going to see it gleefully and earnestly. So, no, they don't. Now, Saving Private Ryan and Passions of the Christ, those are two good examples, because when I went to see those movies, they were violent and they were disturbing, but that was not anything that I wasn't even close to throwing up, you know.
You didn't want to throw up when a guy pick a leg up?
No, he didn't pick his leg up. He picked up his arm, if you've seen it.
Yeah, that's what I mean, his arm.
Did I want to throw? No, I didn't want to throw up.
That's the part I want to puke.
Oh, bull crap, you didn't want to puke, man. We saw that movie the other night. When a guy picked his arm up off the beach?
Yeah.
You didn't want to puke.
Yeah, but I mean, it was gross.
Okay, it was gross. I'm not saying that it wasn't. I'm not saying that it wasn't horrible. I'm not saying that it wasn't. You know, these are metaphors, man. When you're watching a movie, you're not watching what's happening. You're watching a representation of reality. You're watching actors doing their best to recreate a reality on film. And they're doing it in a way that the story is going to sequence together and make sense. Because God knows, if you were there on those days, Omaha Beach, there wasn't any story making any sense. All you knew is you were alive and you didn't want to get dead. So when they say that people are running out of the theater throwing up, I don't know. Franco says that he was at the London Film Festival event with Britt Boyle and Aaron. Britt Boyle, I guess, is the wife of the director. Anyway, the actor admitted people fainted during test screenings. People fainted. Now, test screenings are when you just pack about 300 people into a movie theater and get their opinion as they pour out like cattle out of a cattle car. They might have been fainting because the place stunk. They got 9,000 people crammed in there.
Yeah, I went to one of those one time in a valley. It smelled bad.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's because you showed up.
Maybe.
Okay, thank you. So anyway, some people even walked out in disgust. Boyle looked on as paramedics treated fans struggling to cope with gruesome scenes. This is from The Sun, but I don't know who the reporter is, and I don't know whether the reporter actually saw this. The film is based on the true story of American Aaron Ralston. Aaron Ralston was at this screening, and they use his first name as opposed to his last name, which is usually what a reporter will do. So what does that mean? He's assisting in the selling of this film?
You're really suspicious about stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, don't you believe anything?
Yes, I do believe things, but can I just say something? Aaron, no reporter uses the first name of a principal of an individual he's writing a story about. You'll use Mr. Ralston or Ralston. Aaron, so that tells me something. This guy's an entertainment writer. He's got a stake in seeing the movie do well, or at least he wants Boyle to think he's got a stake in seeing the movie do well, because that means that Boyle will be accessible to other interviews. And once again, the audience is the person that's left standing there holding, you know, his wig. The most harrowing moment in this film, played by Spider-Man star James Franco, and he's a great actor. He was in Milk, James Franco was. Spider-Man, he was. What are the other movies he was in?
I think he was in, like, Natural Born Killers.
Natural Born Killers? What scene, what character did he play in that?
He played, like, the guy, Scagnetti.
No, he didn't. Sizemore did. What the hell movie was... I don't remember him in that movie, and I've seen it about 16 times. Franco attended Thursday's event at the London Film Festival with Britt Boyle and Aaron. The actor admitted people fainted during the test screenings. He said, quote, and this is true, it's not a horror film where the point is to gross people out. The real amputation, well, was he in Natural Born Killers or wasn't he?
I think, no, he was in Pineapple Express.
Well, was he in Natural Born Killers is what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, he was in Pineapple Express.
In any event, we'll do it, and if you don't have a knife, you chew it off. This is what Boyle is saying. So it's not a horror film, he said. It's a real-life event. The actual amputation of this arm, it took this poor kid 40 minutes to do this. The scene is just a few minutes long. Hollywood Entertainment blog Deadline.com posted an entry by Nikki Fink about a similar incident at a U.S. screening. No, it wasn't a publicity stunt. She said, Fink, I'm told the two people fainted during a screening hosted by Toy Story 3 director Lee Unkrich of Danny Boyle's 127 Hours that took place on Friday night at Pixar's theater packed with about 300 people. Paramedics were called. The pair were declared fine. But I've been to these screenings, and they pack people into the theaters. You can't breathe. You can't, you can't, that stinks to high heaven. It's hot as living hell. People are elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder in these things. They're probably passing out because of the heat in the theater. But anyway.
Well, you think people fainted?
I think people fainted. Whether they fainted because of the movie or whether it was a very emotional film and the heat got to them, maybe. Did they throw up? Maybe. And maybe it was the food that the producers were serving to the people that were packed into the theaters for the test screening that made them puke.
Yeah, well, what do you think they're going to feed them, man? Bad clam? That's the only thing.
You got a straight face when you say that.
Yeah, I just noticed that.
What?
Bad clam?
Well, what? What's so funny about that? You feed a bad clam. They probably ate bad, or maybe it was clam.
Yeah, I'll bet it was clam, man.
Yeah.
You guys are filthy.
877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. A man beats up the priest he says molested him. We'll have that story for you. Let's find out if he got the right priest. You know, that might be, yeah. 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and watch the live streaming video right now.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Dr. Green Thumb. Paging Dr. Green Thumb.
Time now for the Dr. Green Thumb report. Then we'll get into the story of the guy that beat up the priest that he said molested him. But then they got into a lawsuit. The story may be 6-7 years old, for all I know. Anyway, parents urged to check for pot-laced Halloween candy. L.A. County officials were warning parents to be on the lookout for Halloween treats laced with marijuana. Officials say pot treats such as candy bars and lollipops are sold in marijuana dispensaries and could be circling around. These lollipops, candy bars, they look pretty legit. The problem is, if it gets in the wrong hands, the kid licks a lollipop and get ill intoxicated, said Captain Ralph Ornelas of the Los Angeles County Fire Department. So make sure you know where your children are getting packaged, these little pre-packaged treats, right? Find out what the which house they got it from, too. That way you can go back to the house and beat the crap out of the adults there. See, that's the what I would do. Some treats look like regular cookies or candy, but they don't smell normal. Another clue, many of the products are not clearly labeled. Officers said parents can call the police if they see any suspicious treats. Yeah, okay, well, I guess that's what you should do. The department says it has never received a report of candy or snacks containing pot being distributed to Halloween trick-or-treaters, but they thought they'd make people paranoid this year. Anyway, Nebraska, man eats marijuana during traffic stop. This is making national news now. This used to happen every single night in this country, and nobody was any the wiser. Now it's, guess what? Anyway, Omaha police said a 20-year-old man tried to eat marijuana during a traffic stop to avoid being caught with a drug. Officers stopped a speeding Volvo on Monday near 90th and Douglas Streets. This is in Omaha, Nebraska, for traveling 48 miles per hour in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. They smelled the drug, and they said the passengers started acting nervous. Police said the man tried to eat the pot as he and the driver were being removed from the vehicle. He was charged with tampering with physical evidence and possession of drug paraphernalia. The driver was given a speeding ticket, according to police. They're now waiting for the guy to pass the weed. They'll have to sift through it and...
You're kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. Joints for Giants home runs offered at one marijuana dispensary in San Francisco. A San Francisco marijuana dispensary said patients will receive free joints every time the Giants hit a home run during the World Series. That's right, the Red Leaf Herbal Center said patients inside the medical marijuana dispensary at the time of the home run hit by the Giants, played in the World Series against the Tejas Rangers, will receive free marijuana cigarettes. TMZ.com was reporting on Thursday because that's where their reporters get most of what they smoke. Dispensary said it also is celebrating the Giants in the World Series with a discounted bright orange strain of cannabis and a Giant Punch beverage made using marijuana. The Giants have hit 2 home runs in the series so far. In Coos Bay, Oregon, a mix of butane gas and a spark from a freezer fridge causes an explosion inside a Coos Bay home on Monday. Now investigators believe the gas was used by a resident to extricate THC from marijuana. Coos County Sheriff's deputies and other local law enforcement officials responded to the explosion at a residence on Jerome Road at around 1 p.m. on Monday. The investigation revealed that one of the 4 subjects residing in the home, a cat named Freddie McMillan, had been extracting THC from the weed with a method using butane gas. It appears that the gas had built in the home, and when the freezer portion of the refrigerator freezer turned... Who cares? God! This is written for people that are stoned. Wow, it appears that the gang, you know, you're just like not never ending, man. Anyway, McMillan, who was uninjured, had just laid down on a couch to take a nap. Yeah, I'll bet he did. Which authorities say could have possibly saved her life. They believe that any person standing in the kitchen could have been severely injured. Oh, God. All right. Flat tire leads police to hundreds of pounds of weed. A Cincinnati man is behind bars after a routine tire change led police to 377 pounds of marijuana. Richard Lipscomb, age 50, was arrested around 1:30 in the afternoon on October the 21st by the Warren County Drug Task Force and charged with possession of the weed, trafficking in marijuana, cultivation of marijuana, possession of criminal tools, and just overall being a weird guy. Lebanon police responded to tire discounters because of Lipscomb's suspicious behavior. What? What does it mean, man? You've got a van full of weed. Oh, as he's getting his tire he had a tire going flat. He obviously didn't want to take the car in there with the weed in the car. He drove around in back of Brian's family pharmacy and took 3 plastic bags out of his car and put them down and went back to tire discounters. Police recovered the 3 bags, which contained 17 pounds of marijuana, and seized an undisclosed amount of cash. Finally, Bob Marley's daughter gets probation on a pot charge. The youngest child of reggae legend Bob Marley will spend 7 years on probation for growing weed in her Philadelphia home, 29-year-old Makeda Janesta Marley. The judge gave her a choice, a shorter prison term or a long stint on probation. She opted for the latter, of course, and she risks being jailed if she violates her probation terms. Okay, so that's that in the world of dope. Prop 19, I don't know. I at this particular point, I don't think it's going to pass. If it does pass, it's just seeing how things are going in California right now with medical marijuana. They've had to shut down medical marijuana clinics in L.A. I don't forget how many, but they put a cap now on 70 dispensaries, I think, because many of the people who run those dispensaries were idiots. They were allowing weed to be smoked on the premises. Guys were walking in and out of the place with joints in their mouth. You could smell the dope a block away. I mean, you knew that was going to happen. You knew that people were going to open up dispensaries that were so stupid they would get everybody busted. And that's what happened. So now you're going to legalize dope? How's that going to work? You're going to have it sold where? People are going to be smoking it where? It ain't going to happen, man. It's not going to happen. No wonder it's losing. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Man arrested for beating priest he accused of molesting him.
How do you know that this is the guy that did it?
Well, it turns out there was a lawsuit, but that makes this story even more curious. A man allegedly molested 3 decades ago by a priest was arrested Friday on charges that he lured the clergyman to the lobby of a Jesuit retirement home and beat him in front of shocked witnesses. William Lynch, age 43, was booked on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon for the May 10th attack that sent the Reverend Gerald Lindner to the hospital with bruises and lacerations. Lynch harbored a fantasy for years of confronting the priest, who also allegedly molested his little brother. Sung said Lynch attacked the... This is according to Rick Sung, the Santa Clara County Sheriff's spokesman. He said that Lynch attacked the 65-year-old priest after he failed to recognize him at the Jesuit Sacred Heart Retirement Home in Los Gatos. The attack occurred in a small room adjoining the lobby. They're saying it was pretty close to beating him to death, according to defense attorney Pat Harris. They're essentially saying that he waited all these years and then took out his revenge. It's sort of the ultimate revenge story. Lynch and his younger brother settled with the Jesuits of the California Province, a Roman Catholic religious order, for $625,000 in 1998 after alleging that Lindner abused them in 1975 during weekend camping trips in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Aha. The boys, who were 7 and 5 at the time, were raped in the woods and forced to have oral sex with each other. Good God. While Lindner watched, according to this guy Harris, who's the defense attorney. Now, you have to understand that's the defense attorney talking. Oh, what are you going to protect people that are molesters, Henry? No, I just like to point these things out. Lindner had been accused of abuse by nearly a dozen people, including his own sister and nieces and nephews. So this guy is a freak. Lynch was to be released on $25,000 bail, according to his attorney. The attorney negotiated his client's surrender and said Lynch will plead not guilty at his arraignment sometime next month.
I don't get it. Who beat up who?
This guy Lynch beat up the priest.
Yeah, but the priest molested him when? In 1998.
Yeah, when he was 30?
No, not when he was 30. The allegation is the priest molested him in the 70s when he was a kid. He was 7 and his brother was 5.
Oh, okay. And then they sued?
They sued. And then they settled. And that was 10 years ago. And then he visited him today or last week.
And beat the crap out of him.
Yeah. So there you have the nice logical sequence of events. The crime, the suit, and he beat the crap out of him. It's a criminal act. I don't know how this guy escaped being charged with that. We'll be back with more world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I feel like I have to, you know...
Yeah, it's a little confusing.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I feel like I have to just conclude on the story of this man beating the priest that molested him, because it's a gruesome story, but I always want to make sure that the facts we are giving you add up. Because if it says something like, well, you know, this happened and that happened, but we're not sure, I don't like to leave anybody with the story hanging. What happened was this guy Lindner, this priest, molested this man, Mr. Lynch, and his younger brother when they were 7 and 5, and it was, I'm not going to go through the details of it again, it's the most vile and disgusting thing you can imagine. Now this old bastard is in a retirement home. Now in 1998, the brothers sued and settled with the Jesuits of the California province, which is the name of the Roman Catholic religious order. They settled for $625,000. They alleged that Lindner abused them in 1975 during weekend camping trips. Now this guy comes to the home, as you know, and we reported, and beats the crap out of this priest, almost beats him to death, according to his attorney. The attorney negotiated his client's surrender, and we come to find out that this Lindner was also charged with and was named in lawsuits between 1973 and 1985 that were part of a big settlement that the Los Angeles Archdiocese settled for. $600 million, you probably remember it. 550 plaintiffs in 2007. I remember that. It was horrible. So what I'm trying to figure out here, though, is what happens between, you know, now and way back when this guy is walking around free as a bird after these little boys and others were sexually molested by this turd. Now, the guy beat the crap out of this guy. It says here the father shows up in the lobby, at which point he was asked by the suspect if he knew who he was. When the father answered no, that's when the suspect started attacking. He was punching him in the face and all over the body. After the father goes down, then the suspect took off. Lindner was able to drive himself to the hospital. He did not return a call left on his answering machine. He has previously denied abusing the Lynch boys and has not been criminally charged. The abuse falls outside the statute of limitations, although he did settle. He was removed from ministry and placed at the Los Gatos retirement home in 2001. He was named in two additional lawsuits between 1973 and 1985, and they settled for $625,000. In 1998, after they alleged that Lindner abused them at a 1975 weekend camping trip. The provincial, that I guess is the guy that runs this retirement home, said Lindner had fully recovered and resumed his work at the retirement home, where he helps care for 75 retired and invalid priests. This guy almost beat him to death? How the hell did he almost beat him to death, and the guy is walking around, you know, looking good and helping people? So you can tell, you know, there's a lot of emotions running through this thing. I'm trying to figure out, first of all, while they settled, and this guy swears this dude's the guy that did it to him. I don't doubt that, okay, but I'm wondering about everybody else involved in this thing. What are they looking at? Who do they know and why? Why, he almost beat him to death. The guy drove himself to the hospital and he's back to work today? That ain't being beaten to death. As you can imagine, it's a very emotionally distressing to go through something like this. He hasn't spoken a lot about it. He's living a quiet life of prayer and service within our community. These guys got away with bloody murder, these priests. You know, when they get outside of the statute of limitations, you can't do anything to them. And so what? So these civil cases are brought. And this is why we have, you know, the judicial system that we have in this country. And it's I think it's fantastic, because you can't get justice. Justice is denied you for whatever reason, civil action is available to you. Lynch declined an interview Friday, but in a 2002 Los Angeles Times article, he said he'd had nightmares for years. He battled depression and alcoholism and had attempted suicide twice because of this priest's abuse. Many times I thought of driving down to L.A. and confronting Father Jerry. I wanted to exercise all of the rage and anger and bitterness he put into me. Hey, by the way, just a note to Eminem, in your song I'm Not Afraid, where you say I'm exercising the demons, and then you say they're doing jumping jacks. It's not exercise as in jumping jacks. It's exorcise as in casting them out.
Yeah, I remember he did that. Is that dumb or something?
No, I wouldn't call it dumb. What did he do? in Eminem's song, he says, I'm exercising the demons. Those MFers are doing jumping jacks. You ain't exercising them, man. You're exorcising them.
So now Eminem a dumbass?
I didn't say he's a dumbass. He just used the word the wrong way. All right, anyway. Lynch told the newspaper, you can't put into words what this guy did to me. He stole my innocence. He destroyed my life. Well, all right, man. It's messed up.
What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, the guy sued. He and his brother got 600 G's. I know money isn't everything. This guy still has a lot of rage to get out of him, and he needs to deal with it some way, because if he winds up killing that priest, then he winds up killing himself. I mean, you know, it's obvious that the justice was denied him in one way, but a $625,000 settlement, I guess that's supposed to make you happy? I don't know. Sour grapes after The Apprentice. Masa Saidi Aksui, how do you pronounce this name, takes on Trump, accuses him of rating attractiveness of female contestants. Well, of course he does.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I guess she didn't like that. I'm kidding, but, you know. Anyway, few people will take a billionaire head-on, but that's just what Masa Saidi Akukulu Walabatara, I don't know, her name is, like, spelled A-Z-C-U-Y.
A-Z. Spell it again.
A-Z.
A-Z.
C-U.
C-U.
Y.
Y. Asku.
Yeah.
Asku.
Yeah.
It's Askui. Askui.
Gesundheit.
You're welcome.
Get out of here.
Anyway, this woman, Askui, she took on the billionaire after being fired this week. Now, while Masa was cast as a liar in the edited version of the show, she took to YouTube in order to clear her name and make some allegations about her perceived mistreatment of some, what she perceives as mistreatment of some of the female contestants. It wasn't about being fired. 15 out of 16 of us get fired, she told AOL. It was about being branded a liar. What I had to say was the truth. I just couldn't stop myself. It's not my character to say quiet. All right, I don't watch this show, man, but in any event, on last night's episode of NBC's The Apprentice, here is Masa getting canned.
She told the men's team in the last task how much we made in the task, so the men knew.
You told them, 220.
Wait a minute, did you say that?
Absolutely.
You mean before we told, before we came
before
up?
Before we knew the boardroom.
Is that true, Masa?
That is 100% true.
Is that true, Masa?
Yes. The lying is sort of... It just adds another element to it. But the fact of the matter is she's disloyal.
Do you think she's lying?
Yes.
I have never lied, Mr. Trump. I am not lying.
Here we go.
Why would I lie? I am not lying.
Would you shut your mouth and stop screaming and with my name in vain? You think you made a mistake?
I absolutely made a mistake.
Masa, you're fired.
All right, here in a video she posted on YouTube, Masa takes on Trump.
Mr. Trump, I know that many people are intimidated by you because you're a billionaire. They're afraid to point out when you make a mistake. They're scared to stand up against you. Mm-hmm. But a prosecutor who you knowingly and falsely branded as a liar has no such fear, sir. I don't know why you ever thought I was going to sit back quietly and allow my entire legal future to be placed in jeopardy when it is my duty as an attorney to address this and to clear my name.
Why'd you go on the show?
Yeah, she's going to get... Trump's going to kick her ass.
You should know that.
Why'd you go on the show? Did you think I was going to sit back? If you thought there was any risk at all, what the hell are you doing on the show? You took the risk. I understand there are legal concerns, but opinions are opinions. And he didn't call you the liar. That other chick called you the liar. Here is the former Apprentice contestant. She makes allegations of misogynistic behavior on the show. So now what she's going to do is she's now going to accuse Trump of being a woman hater, and we'll take it into the sewer, and that's what happens, and, you know, hell hath no fury.
Continually in your boardroom, you would point out who you found to be attractive or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would take the humiliation one step further by asking the men's team to rate us according to who they found to be most attractive. But Mr. Trump, they were our competition, not our judges, sir. And we were competing for an executive position in one of your companies, not to be some tiara-wearing pageant princess in the swimsuit competition.
You lost, lady. If you had won, you would not be saying any of these things. And if you think, I'm saying this not because I'm necessarily a Donald Trump fan, but he ain't stupid. And as a matter of fact, of all of these clowns that get on television and pretend like they are TV personalities, these cats with money, Mark Cuban, you know, some of these jackasses, Trump, to my way of thinking, seems to have his stuff together better than any of them. I'm telling you right now, I'm not saying she's doing something dangerous. If she has a case, she's got a case. I don't think he did any of this stuff. I don't think the guy's that dumb. And coming out after you get fired and saying it after the fact and saying, you know what, here's what happened. And, you know, it's very, very difficult for people to take you seriously when we know, you know, the whole world knows, had you not been fired, were you still on the show, you wouldn't have come forward with any of this stuff. Because all of that stuff is nothing compared to winning and working for the guy, which is what you wanted to do. And if you've got a reputation as an attorney, if you have any real reputation at all anywhere in this world as a business person, what the hell are you doing going on that show? It's a show. A show!
Yeah, but you gotta make a lot of money.
Make a lot of money doing what, man?
Working for Donald Trump and stuff.
But the TV entertainment aspect of this thing means that you also run the risk of being set up as some kind of a clown. Now, that is what people don't think about. They think they're going to acquit themselves well. They think they're going to look fantastic. They think they're going to know what to say. They think they're going to know how to say it. They're totally in control. They have no idea what they're getting into. They got a professional reputation. They're going to go for it. They're going to work for Donald Trump. They find out what the reality of this thing is. And they wind up getting their ass handed to them. And they wind up looking bad. And they wind up blaming somebody else, in this woman's case at least. So,
yeah, that's a great show. I would risk it.
You'd risk what?
If he's going to call me a liar or something.
Yeah, man, you're not going to be on the show, man, when you think you're going to work for Donald Trump.
Maybe.
What would you do for Donald Trump?
What do you mean?
What would you do for Donald Trump?
Anything those people do.
You ain't a lawyer, man. That woman's a lawyer.
Well, it's somebody not a lawyer.
You couldn't do anything for Donald Trump, man, that didn't involve carrying plastic bags someplace.
What's that mean?
What do you mean, what does that mean?
I mean taking out the trash, man.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, body parts or something. I didn't know what you...
Get out of here, body parts. Maybe, I don't know. All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, coming up next here as we get ready for a, oh, yeah, weekend. A boss encourages his employees to vote for the Republicans if they want a raise. That's coming up next here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
What is that? What's this the theme to? What's this the theme to, you guys?
28 days later.
28 days later, yeah.
Whoa! Cut it out!
Bud got scared at that one, didn't he?
Yeah, he got all scared.
Shut up! Woo-hoo-hoo. Rage virus, Bud.
Shut up, man. I don't believe in it at all.
Oh, you don't believe it? Well, that's good that you don't believe in it, because it doesn't exist, bud. That's 28 days later. I got one more for you here before we conclude our broadcast. So, Halloween, have a safe Halloween. Make sure the kids are safe. And remember what we do around the Hendry household. We keep a bag of candy for the kids, and we keep a loaded shotgun for the weirdos. So, here we go. What's this one, man?
Now, the remake of Night of the Living Dead. I didn't think that was good.
You didn't like this one as good as the original? No.
What about that new one they got now on the AMC?
They have The Walking Dead on AMC. I don't know when that's going to be debuting. This on AMC, is it Monday? I forget. This is Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Sunday night, Walking Dead on AMC. All right, 877-876-PHIL. One more little story here. McDonald's employees told by franchise owner that unless Republicans win, they won't get raises or benefits. There may be something rotten at McDonald's, and it's not a year-old Happy Meal. Now, who would engage in that kind of sophomoric humor? And when I say sophomoric, what I'm basically saying is not funny. You got it. Huffington Post! Anyway, Paul Siegfried, The owner of a franchise in Canton, Ohio, enclosed a handbill in employees' paychecks that threatened lower wages and benefits if Republicans don't win on Tuesday. That's a pretty stupid thing to do. As the election season is here, we wanted you to know which candidates will help our business grow in the future, reads the letter. As you know, the better our business does, it enables us to invest in our people and our restaurants. This sounds exactly like Bob Green tonight.
Yeah, I wonder where you got the idea. I wonder where he got the idea.
I don't know. The note ends with a list of candidates McDonald's believes, or is it Paul Siegfried, will help our business move forward. It names Republicans John Kasich for governor, Rob Portman for Senate, and Jim Renacci for Congress. With the letter was a biography of Renacci or Renacci, or, the handbill, and it's so long that it ain't that one cat with the weird hair, man. Anyway, the handbill endorses candidates who have, in essence, pledged to roll back the minimum wage and eviscerate the safety net that protects the most vulnerable members of our workforce. This is attorney Alan Shulman of Canton law firm Shulman, Zimmerman & Associates, which received the documents from an employer who stepped forward. An employer. Perhaps one of the managers.
Yeah, probably a guy that manages a restaurant, because this other guy owned the franchise.
He's a franchise owner?
Yeah.
That's an asinine thing to do. It's an asinine thing to do, man. I mean, you can talk about, well, you know, we support this, we support that, you know. I don't know what's legal. I've never been in a workplace where there's been anything that has, I work in talk radio, so I don't know what to tell you. But I've never worked in the workplace environment where we not only have talk show hosts, but we also have office people, we have clerical people, we have accountants, we have receptionists, we have salespeople. I've never seen or heard of that kind of campaigning for somebody. I've heard people talking in the lunchroom, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, you ever seen anybody pass out a picture of like Obama or any of that?
It's Obama, man, not Obama.
Well, that's what I mean.
Why do you keep calling him Obama? Is that song, The Name Game?
Yeah. Shirley, Bo Burley, Banana Fan of Bo Burley.
Boy, that is retarded, man.
No kidding, man. How old that song?
I like it.
Shirley, Bo Burley. As this election season weren't already tense enough, fears about voter fraud and some of the steps that are being taken to combat it have created more worries. With control of Congress in the balance, both political parties are gearing up for a possibly wild and woolly election day. Legal war room, roving teams of lawyers, hotlines, and poll challenges are all part of the strategy that Democrats and Republicans will employ Tuesday to handle suspected fraud or to help voters whose right to vote is questioned. You know, it's good what happened in 2000, because this kind of voter fraud, if you want to call it, or suspect vote counting, or faulty voter machines, or dimpled Chads, or, you know, or a guy named Chad with dimples, whatever. This stuff was, you don't think the 2000 is the first time it ever happened, do you?
Well, that's what they said.
Oh, is that what they said? Do you think that because the stuff came, because that in the year 2000, they found out that there were dimpled Chads and all this jazz. You think it's the first time that stuff was going on?
What are you saying?
What am I saying? I'm telling you that this stuff was going on for years before that.
Yeah, well, that means that maybe they got the wrong guy elected.
No kidding. We probably elected the wrong guy. Excuse me, you know. Elected the wrong guy plenty of times. That's what I was saying last night. So this is good. I'm glad this is happening now, because we can get this stuff out of our system. If there's a way we can come up with a machine, great. If there's a way we can come up with a way to vote, fantastic. This jazz about, you know, fraud this and legal teams here and there and their war room over here. All that does, you know, these cats are all just waiting to jump on something, however insignificant, and turn this process into a joke. The issue is also on the Justice Department's radar. It will post federal monitors at selected polling places around the country, and prosecutors, civil rights attorneys, and the FBI will be tasked with handling election-related complaints that day. A special toll-free number, 1-800-253-3931, will be available for complaints about ballot access. A lot is just precautionary and not out of the ordinary. What's different this year is that candidates and others are also getting into the act. So this is just concerns about election fraud and voter intimidation. That's what they were talking about back in 08. They were talking about that in 04. And they had those, who were those guys they had?
Like the Black Panthers.
Those clowns were standing, the Black Panthers were standing there looking bad and stupid. What were they going to do? What were they going to do? You talk about intimidating people. Those two guys were intimidating people, you know.
Yeah, well, there weren't any white people there.
I don't care, but they intimidated some of the black people. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rance, technical director Charles Wagon, and our associate producer and screener Dan Northcraft. PhilHendryShow.com for your Phil Hendry Show radio needs. Have a good weekend. Happy Halloween. Woo. Cut it out.
Phil Hendry.